إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, in our series on حقوق العباد, I want to remind myself and you about one of the most important of the rights of people, about which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he said that Jibreel came alayhi salam and reminded me and told me and emphasized for me the rights of neighbors until I thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send wahi, is going to send orders that the neighbor should be made an inheritor in the property of the Muslim. That the neighbor should be made an heir to the property of the Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi salam came and he emphasized the rights of neighbors to such an extent that I thought that maybe now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send wahi to say that the neighbor must be given an inheritance and must be made an heir in the property of the Muslim. And I remind myself and you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say your Muslim neighbor. He said the neighbor, whether the neighbor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. This is one of the beauties of Islam, which if we practice, this is the most powerful dawah. This is more powerful than any lecture, any khutbah, any conference, any course, anything. The most powerful dawah is the dawah of action, where a person feels the benefit of what you have to give. You don't have to talk about it. That is the most powerful dawah. And that dawah is the rights of neighbors. And that dawah, as I said, is the fact that in Islam does not differentiate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim when it comes to the huquq of the people. When it comes to huquq of the people, there is no differentiation. The right of the Muslim is exactly the same as the right of the one who is not a Muslim, even though he is not a Muslim. Even though he does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he may speak against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he may worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person's rights are the same on the Muslim. And as I mentioned before, we are talking about rights, meaning that if you are good to your neighbor, you are not doing the neighbor any favor. That is the right of the neighbor, that you should be good to him. As I mentioned before, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person, he said, he is not a Muslim. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? He said, the one from whose tongue and hand his neighbors are not safe. Meaning that by our actions, by our speech, we are causing harm to people, we are causing a nuisance to people, we are causing inconvenience to our neighbors. Now, this is a very critical thing to remember and understand. And the first litmus test of this is to ask yourself this question and say, do I know the name of my neighbor? The name, that's all I'm asking. Do you know the name of your neighbor? For most of us, we do not even know the name of our neighbor. Rasulullah ﷺ said, you are responsible for 70 houses on either side of your house. Responsible, meaning what? Meaning you will be questioned about them. 70 houses on either side of your house. Imagine if these teachings of Islam, if we lived by them, then even the stones and the trees will recite the kalima if you go past them. Forget about human beings. There will not be a single person on the face of the earth who will not believe in Allah. If we lived by the laws of Islam. Lived by the law. I'm not talking about the law of Islam. We are the greatest talkers in the world. And we impress nobody. We have to live by that talk. 70 houses. Responsible. As I mentioned, meaning what? Meaning you will be held accountable. You will be questioned. And if you fulfill that responsibility, you are not doing any favor to anybody. That is their right. So do we know the name of our neighbor? Next question, next litmus test. Do we make dua for that neighbor? Do we make dua for them? For their hidayat, for their guidance, for them to be relieved from any difficulties. Which of course brings you to the question, do you know what the difficulties are? Now most of us don't even know the name, so how are we going to know what the difficulties are? Do we know what the difficulties are? Are we willing to do something to relieve those difficulties? Are we willing to do something to help those people? Whoever they are, and as I mentioned, there is no consideration of Muslim and non-Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, one of the great scholars of this deen, had a Jewish neighbor. And his Jewish neighbor then decided to sell his house. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak then realized that he wants to sell his house. And this man put a price on that house which was double the market value. So somebody came to see the house and they liked the house and so on. They said, we are willing to buy the house, but this price is crazy because this price is double the market value. How do you charge such a price? The man said, do you know who's my neighbor? He said, no. He said, my neighbor is Abdullah ibn Mubarak. The premium is for the fact that you will become the neighbor of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And this is a Jewish man. He's not a Muslim. He's not a Muslim. And he's not saying that because he's saying that, you know, you can listen to Abdullah ibn Mubarak's dars from morning till night. No. He says, just the privilege of having somebody like that as your neighbor, because the man is so good, he takes care of me and so on. He actually puts a premium on the price of his house. When Abdullah ibn Mubarak came to know, he went to him and he said, why do you want to sell the house? He said, I need some money. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, this is the money, take the money, stay here. We want you as our neighbor. Don't sell the house. Imagine, just think about this, because I'm not talking about, you know, you might say, well, all this is utopian rubbish, doesn't work in practice. It doesn't work in practice because we make no effort to make it work in practice. The second Rio Summit concluded. The first Rio Summit, which is also called the Earth Summit, was held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. In that summit, the developed countries, so-called developed countries, they made a lot of promises to help the underdeveloped countries and the developing countries. And they also made a lot of promises with regard to emissions and this and that and pollution and whatnot to save the earth. 20 years later, in 2012, it's called Rio Plus 20, which is the second Earth Summit which was held. And in that Earth Summit, they assessed what happened during the last 20 years. These were the promises made. Were they fulfilled? And they came to the conclusion that not a single one of those promises was fulfilled. Not even one. Why? Because nobody cares about the rights of neighbors. Now you might say, well, you know, which is the, by far probably, the country which gives the largest amount in foreign aid in the world is the United States of America. Wallahu alam, that's my guess, but I think I'm correct in that, right? Guess what is the percentage of foreign aid that the US gives compared in terms of its federal budget? In terms of federal budget, what percentage of the federal budget goes in foreign aid by the United States of America to other countries? Guess, give me a number. What do you think it is? Quick. This is a Fajr reminder. We can't sit till Zohar fair. Give me a number. 5%. Anybody else? 2%. 1%. 1%. What can you achieve in 1%? Tell me. Huh? The point is, today we live in a world where most countries, if not all countries, have defense budgets which are far, far higher than the budget for education, than the budget for medical and medical health, for health insurance, medical aid, than the budget for clean water, then the budget for food, then the budget for employment, and then we say we have unemployment. Defense budget. I'm talking about poor countries. I'm not even talking about rich countries. I'm talking about poor countries like the United States of America, which is among the poorest in the world because it has the largest national debt. What do you call a country which is the world's biggest debtor? Most poor country. Seriously, we have to ask these questions. Who is coming to take over your country? Nobody. Nobody. The days of Julius Caesar and Genghis Khan are over. Nobody will take over your country. What is happening, however, is the amount of money you spend on your own country or your own people. That is what will ensure whether your country is full of happy people, good people. And we have examples in this world itself. Take Sweden, take Norway, take the Scandinavian countries, take Switzerland. They spend far more money. Switzerland has no army. They spend far more money. Take Singapore. There's no army in Singapore. They spend far more money on themselves, on their own people. And you see the results. But if you don't want to learn, you don't want to learn. And if you say it is not practical, you want to say that, keep saying it. Be miserable. Nobody, you know, who cares? All of these are the principles of Islam. Spend money on your own people. Be more concerned about the education, public health, water, so on, of your own people. Not be worried and not be concerned about external aggression, whatever. This is the rule of Islam. Be worried. The whole point is that if you are concerned about your neighbors, and if you do something to help your neighbors, then there is no threat from the neighbor. Whether the neighbor is an individual who is living next to your house, or whether the neighbor is a neighboring country, if you are concerned about the neighbor, that's the point I'm making. I mean, if you are genuinely concerned about your neighbor, and you show this concern, then the neighbor is not going to attack you. If the neighbor does not attack you, you don't need a defense budget. You don't need to have a huge army and, you know, feed that army and so on. Completely useless. What's the good of an army? What does an army do? What is spent, the money that is spent in research and development of one missile is enough to feed 1 million people for a whole year and feed them well. And at the end of the day, what does that missile do? It kills people. It blows up. So all of that science and technology and everything goes into creating something which only peddles death. Now what sense does it make? And we call ourselves the most intelligent, the most advanced, the most educated, human beings that ever lived on the face of the earth. Absolute nonsense. If we are so advanced and so educated and so scientifically developed, how come we are killing the earth? Again, rights of neighbors. Neighbors are not only humans. Neighbors are the trees, they are the animals, they are the planet. The planet is your neighbor because you're living on the planet. And Allah gave us the responsibility to take care of this planet. What do we do to the planet? I mean, one can understand if we are a bunch of ignorant people who don't know what we are doing, and in our ignorance we are destroying the planet. But we call ourselves the most intelligent, the most scientifically advanced. We are still doing the same thing. So what must we believe? I mean, do we have this education? Or is it because of lack of responsibility, lack of sense? I don't know what. So let us remember that. I am talking about also the macro picture, but the macro picture is a reflection of the micro picture. Neighboring countries will have good relations with each other when neighbors have good relations with each other. We cannot want to have good relations as a country when we don't have a good relation with our own neighbor. So let us do this as a exercise out of this Fajr reminder. Go and meet the neighbor, not now. Later on in the morning. Go and meet the neighbor, talk to the neighbor, get to know the neighbor and maintain that relation. And look after them, take care of them. There are so many stories of Muslims individually who have done that. I won't go into all those details now. But with great result. With great result. So Muslim or non-Muslim, meet your neighbor, talk to your neighbor, do something good for the neighbor, help the neighbor. And then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and will open the doors of His treasures for us. Because then we become the conduit by which the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes and the barakah goes to the neighbors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that it passes through us inshallah. We ask Allah to enable us to do that which is pleasing and to become the da'wat of Islam by means of our actions, not by means of our words. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.